Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The wait is over. A triple header of fun is upon us this week. Football's in effect. The NBA Finals are here, and the MLB playoffs are in full swing. You might go to some of these games, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you get in on everything. From game spreads, totals, to teams, player, coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any place online. Head to BetOnline today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
You are listening to The Bird Calls on the Armchair All-American Network. For more on your Pelicans, go to iTunes, search The Bird Calls, and subscribe today.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another in our series of Drew Holiday trade conversations from the gentlemen here at The Bird Calls. Joining me, David, are our regular contributors, Kevin Berrios, David Fisher, and our editor-in-chief, Mr. Ali Cosell. Good evening, gentlemen. Ali, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine, as you guys know, but you, the rest of you listening don't. I just got done driving 11 hours straight from New Orleans to Cincinnati. So, yeah, I'm a little bit out of it. But I do want to mention, and we got to mention this, David, I'm not sure if you're going to, but Rick Bunnell just tweeted out just over an hour ago that sounds like the Pelicans are looking for a third team to facilitate a Drew Holiday trade, where he puts in parentheses, where Holiday gets to a contender. I wonder if the Hornets would make any sense for that. Don't listen about that, but it's interesting about the third team because we have touched on numerous third team potential landing scenarios for Drew, and we're going to actually add a few more, I'm sure. Right, Fish?
Yes, we will. But I think that's interesting in the fact that it's getting around enough, because when David Griffin was really kicking the tires around Anthony Davis trades, if you remember, similar reports to that came out where they were looking at how can they route third teams, et cetera. And eventually they did in a roundabout way. The Washington Wizards were minorly involved to help make the transaction work. And then the third team involved in that one ended up being the Atlanta Hawks. Because the Pelicans ended up routing the fourth pick for the 8th, 17th, and I might miss the exact number. Is it 35, 36?
I think so, yeah.
So,
Solomon Hill.
Yeah, Solomon Hill.
And offloading Solomon Hill's contract. So, yes, that to me tells me, because I think what it is the Pelicans, when they're having Drew Holiday talk trades, they're relatively decent at keeping the chatter down. But when they start talking to the other teams in terms of how can we get all these things routed, then it becomes more difficult for them to keep a lid on the rumors.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it sounds like the whole league now knows what's up. Yep, because they've called them.
And do you think that this is something that's more likely to be trying to facilitate a big blockbuster type deal because of what they want in this year's draft, as well as trying to move Drew to a contender? Do you think that would be a condition of this, is trying to find a higher pick in this year's draft?
Yeah, I mean, from what we know, we don't know for sure, but what has been whispered is that they want to move up, and you would assume that the most obvious situation for that is with either the Warriors are possibly the Bulls, and we already talked about the Warriors in the last pod and how maybe they don't really want to deal with Wiggins. Maybe they don't like Wiggins. You know, David Griffin drafted Wiggins. Maybe he knows more about him than we do now. And so maybe they're looking to reroute him, which we talked about a little bit in the last pod as well. That's a possibility. Or maybe if it's a deal with Chicago, you know, routing Otto Porter somewhere else to create that cap space to get something back better that you like. So we'll see. But I don't think it's going to mean that they're going to get some mega star. I think it means that their goal is to not take on a contract or a player that's on a big contract that they don't really like, but to also still get that early pick and maybe get another young guy to go along with that.
Well, today we are discussing two more teams on our list of potential trade partners. You and Ali are presenting, and Kevin, you have not the Phoenix Suns, Kevin, you have the
Atlanta Hawks.
Atlanta Hawks, that's right. So that's the team that you've actually been focused on for a while before we even got into these conversations. The Hawks were a team that you were interested in. So what we'll do, just so that everybody's clear, Kevin's going to give his proposal, and then Ali, you will look at it from the point of view of if you are David Griffin, and Fish, you get to look at it from the point of view of being James Jones, and then we'll try to see how we adjust from there and what we like. So, Kevin, the floor is yours.
All right. So, yeah, like you said, I've been
Travis really Schlenk, though, by the way, Grub. James Jones is going to be the Suns guy that I'm going to do, right? He's the Suns GM, not the Atlanta Hawks GM.
Sorry. Yes. I'm sorry. I crossed the moat.
Yeah, I just want to make that clear.
Wires crossed.
All right. So
exactly.
Yes. So I've been focused on this one for a long time, actually, even before the season ended, not the bubble season, the actual season when I got called. Atlanta was a team I thought would be an interesting destination for Drew Holiday. From watching the moves that they made, acquiring Clint Capella, they got their all-star and Trae Young. And I just felt like what they needed was more defense, perimeter defense. I feel like what Drew does complements exactly what Trae does, and what Trae does complements exactly what Drew does. So while it's not that contender, moving them to a contender, I think it's moving them to a team that's set up right now in a way that they'll be definitely – a playoff team in the East, especially with Orlando sort of imploding due to injuries and probably breaking up that team a little bit. And they have a lot of young players that I think we all like. You know, there's Kevin Huerter, there's Cam Reddish, there's DeAndre Hunter, there's John Collins, who I don't think is available, but he's also a young prospect that's in there. And then now they have the sixth pick. So they have a lot of things that you would want if you're David Griffin from this team. And I always thought that they were going to be making a push to try to become a winning team this season. I heard Lloyd Pierce on a podcast months ago talking about how they didn't really want to have another high draft pick. They wanted to get another, a real contributing player right away, because they wanted to make that push. And then now the reports are coming out that ownership is pushing them in that direction. So I think it makes it a really viable destination. And like I said, you know, they have a lot of young guys that are good. I think the most common trade, which was the trade that I thought of initially, is Drew Holiday and either 13 or a future lottery protected pick for Dewayne Dedmon, Kevin Huerter, and number 6. Huerter for me is my favorite of the young guys on that roster, but I wouldn't be mad at any of them. Like if we got any of those three, or, you know, like I said, John Collins, but I think he's the one that's not going to be available for sure. Huerter adds a lot of length to our backcourt. He's 6'7". He could play the 3 as well. He's a very good ball handler and creator for his position. B-ball index has him in the top 81% of playmaking for a shooting guard. He's very athletic. He's not a great defender, but he's not a terrible defender. He's a really good outside shooter and a one-on-one scorer. He shot 38.3% from deep. He's a good spot-up shooter. He's in the 90 percentile in catch and shoots, via B-ball index. He's in the top 89% in three-point gravity. So, like, he creates space for Zion to work down low, which is something you really want. He shot 42% on catch-and-shoot threes, 44.3% from the corner. He's an 80% free-throw shooter. He contributes in all areas, like, per 100 possessions. He brought down just under six rebounds and a little over five assists and 1.4 steals per game per 100 possessions. And then, like, defensively, he's above average in tip passes, and he's really good at playing the passing lanes. He's in the top 60 percentile in that stuff. And I compared him, you know, last podcast we talked a lot about Tyler Hero. And so I did a comparison on the B-ball index comparison tool, and they kind of grade out slightly similar. Perimeter shooting, they both get an A grade, but Hero is like a 5 percentile points higher, but both are very good in that. Hero is a much better off-ball movement guy so far, but I think that has a lot to do to the product of the system that they both played in, because Herter has really good driving numbers. He just didn't do a lot of cuts. But I think, like I said, I think that's more of the system than him. And then they both get B grades in one-on-one offense. Herter destroys Hero in the playmaking grades, which was surprising to me. Herter is in the 89.4 percentile as a playmaker, and Hero is only in the 58.6 percentile, which is still good, but it's shocking how much better Herter graded out in that. And Herter is a slightly better scorer in the post, but neither of them are really great at that. And Herter also grades out as a better perimeter defender. So there's a lot to like about him. I think he kind of bridges, he's sort of like a halfway point between JJ and Drew in terms of his offensive game. Cause he can create, he can drive, and he also can knock down the three. You know, obviously he's not as talented, as fear-inducing as JJ, but he has that ability. So I think he's the prize for me. Although, you know, like I said, I do like Cam and I do like Hunter a lot. Another version of this trade could be if you don't want to take on Deadman's contract, because the Hawks have a lot of cap space. You could trade Drew directly into their cap space, but you would have to probably give up the 13 for sure. And then you would get six and Herter. Maybe even have to give up another pick or, you know, some combination of seconds or something to make that worthwhile while you don't take Deadman's contract back. But it's not a bad contract. It's 2 years at $13 million a year, which isn't terrible. So it'll be expiring the next year. And he's a serviceable big man who has had moments where he looked like he can maybe become a stretch five, but it didn't really pan out so far. But maybe working with Vincent, you know, can get that up to more consistently. But my dream trade, which would be Drew Holiday, Darius Miller, a lottery protected future first, 13 for Deadman, Herter, Hunter, and six, which I don't think Atlanta would do, but if we're doing dream scenarios, that would be my dream scenario. So I'll kick it off to Ollie, I guess, from David Griffin's perspective.
So, yeah, Ollie, so this, let's start with the realistic trade that's been put on the table before you. Atlanta's given you the call. This is what they've said that they would do. How do you feel about it?
If I'm David Griffin, I honestly don't think it's enough, or especially for what I'm looking for. And I'll just give you one measurement. Herter's wingspan is 6'7.5". Both Cam Reddish and Hunter are 7 foot and I think 7'1" respectively. Everything that we know and have seen is all about improving the defense. And you got to think Stan Van Gundy has got to be given at least a few players that can provide that resource. So I understand Kevin's argument totally with Herter, and for a team, you know, maybe outside of the Pelicans, I would understand his playmaking, the importance of it a lot more. But since you've got B.I. who's going to have the ball a lot in his hands, and you truly have to expect that Zion's going to be given every chance, I feel like, to possibly develop, you know, along the lines of, say, Giannis, to where you're going to just kind of let him learn from his mistakes, but he's going to have the ball in his hands. So those two guys are going to be, you know, dictating the offense a lot when it gets in the half court. So I think that Herter's, you know, specialty, or one of his best, biggest positives, is going to be kind of limited or reduced. So with his injury concerns and all that, like I said, if I'm Griff, I need to get somebody that's going to play some defense. So whether that's Hunter or Reddish, and I prefer Reddish, he's a little bit younger. I feel like he's got a higher ceiling. He's more of an athletic kind of quicker wing that I feel like could guard maybe 1 through 4, depending on whoever that power forward is. As for DeAndre Hunter, you think he's more limited to like 3 through maybe some 5, some centers. So again, I wouldn't be too picky, but like I said, Kev, I just don't see the Herter interesting Griff over those two guys. Now, the question comes down to, though, does Atlanta want him? And I'm sure Fish is going to – or letting go one of those guys, because, you know, I know why they were drafted. You look at the point guard, Trae Young. So it makes no – it's no mystery why the Hawks have Hunter, have Reddish. But I think they will be probably reluctant to trade him, even though some people think that they would be able to give up one. I'm not certain either one would maybe even be on the table. So that's where I stand on that.
Okay, so Fish – I want you to look at it from the thing that David Griffin has called you and says, this is the deal. Is this what, are you excited about this, or are you, or do you agree with Ali on that you need this? This doesn't work for you.
Just to be clear, I'm the Atlanta GM, and yes, Ali is offering me Drew Holiday. Was the 13th pick included in
this? Yes, Drew the 13 for Herter, Deadman, and 6.
For just to clarify for that, I wasn't giving them the 13 if I was taking back Deadman. I was giving them a future lottery protected pick, like not necessarily 21, but another year where we have multiple picks. Because my idea is that this should hopefully be the last year we're in the lottery. So if you can hang on to that 13th pick, and we already have 2 superstars, you could say, in Zion and Ingram, and this draft is full of like guys that project to be long-term good playmaker. I mean, role players that you would like to try to hang on to the 13 if possible.
Okay. So there, okay, we go. Clarification.
So if I'm the Atlanta GM, first I want to talk to Drew, because I want to ask him if he can opt into that player option. So I'm not just trading for him on an expiring contract, but I'm trading for him on a 2-year contract. And Pelicans fans should be familiar with this kind of maneuver, because that's what Chris Paul did when he was traded to the Clippers, is he said, I'm going to opt in. So in that kind of situation, then you're getting I'm getting Drew Holiday for 2 years. And then the next step on that, so you're giving me Drew Holiday and I'm giving you Herter, who has 2 years left. He is a superb secondary creator. He's my current starting shooting guard. Dwayne Dedman, who is my Clint Capella insurance policy. So now I don't have any reserve big men, and I'm giving you the sixth pick. Then I want minimal protections on that 2021 pick, which I know is a very enticing draft. So I would either want a situation where, like, maybe it's top 4 or top 5 protected, because I'm giving you the 6. But I probably wouldn't want lottery protections on that pick. But I would prefer it to be a future asset instead of another draft pick, because we already have a bunch of young guys on rookie contracts. So if we could give them a year of seasoning before I add another rookie into the mix, that would be great.
Okay, so let me ask you this, Fish.
Mm-hmm.
What if the Pelicans say, okay, because we're taking in Deadman, we'll give you Hayes if you give us more protection on the pick next year? Like, now it's top 10, still in the lottery, but it's top 10, and we're giving you Hayes.
I mean, on one side, I'm like, all right, that gives me more depth, right? And Hayes has a lot of
Capella
tendencies. He's Capella Junior, except for he doesn't play defense.
I was going to say that.
but no, I see what you're saying. I think if I'm the Atlanta GM and I'm on the Atlanta team, I mean, I'm already adding a vet into my locker room, and Dedmon isn't going to, even in the best case scenario, Dedmon's not going to log 2,000 minutes this year, whereas Drew Holiday ideally is going to start 70 games. So right. I'm adding some veteran leadership that actually plays on the court in Drew Holiday. Drew Holiday solves to a certain degree my reserve pack point guard question, because if I stagger him and Trey a little bit, like I saw the Pelicans stagger Lonzo and Drew, then we are not going to have a complete disaster on our hands when Trey Young goes to the bench. Now we're outlining this trade as the Pelicans are trading Drew Holiday, a future top 10 protected pick, and Jackson Hayes for 6, Herter, and Dedmon. Correct?
No, Ollie, from your perspective, is that too much? Is giving Hayes and the pick the next year too much for what you're getting in return?
I'm not even going to put 2021, even with protections on it, on the table. Yeah. I mean, look, the argument's simple.
Not 2021.
I would easily give up 13 in this draft compared to anything next year, because everybody knows it's a weaker draft. There's no tier one prospect. Some people say there's no tier two, even in the top, right? Even LaMelo. So I have heard that there's at least, 6, 7, 8, 9 guys that could potentially go number one that are deserving of going number one in a decent NBA draft next season. So yeah, 2021 is off the table. Especially in a deal like this.
Well, if you toss in 13 on Atlanta's end, I will take that, because I see where the NBA is going, and I see that there's going to be a bunch of wing-like guys that can shoot that I can add to my wing-like guys collection to be switchable. I think that would be – if Jackson's still in the trade as well, Drew, Jackson, and 13 for 6 – Herter and Dedmon. Oh, let's do it right now.
Do you pull Jax back, or are you good with Jax, Holly?
I would try and pull him back, because, if you're taking on Dedmon, that's a liability in my book. Dude's 31, has lost his shot the last 2 years, and you've got to –
Not the last tied to, 2 years. 13? No. No. It was remember, last year was two parts. There's Sacramento and Atlanta.
Oh, he got traded back. Okay.
The previous year, he shot at 35% from three. Remember, I was high. I will say this in Dedmon's defense. I was high on Dwayne Dedmon before last season. I thought it was a bad deal for him to go to Sacramento. Now, it is a much shorter sample size of what when he got back to Atlanta. But his shooting numbers, particularly from three, he was taking more attempts again, and he was shooting at a higher number again when he got – and his rebounding numbers in Atlanta were outstanding. Now, again, it was only – I think he only played 11 games for the Hawks, because, remember, they didn't make it to the bubble. But in Atlanta, he played much better than he did in Sacramento, and I thought Sacramento was just – that wasn't going to work. I did not like the way their offense –
Ollie, just to jump in as the Atlanta GM here, I have almost unlimited cap space. You're not doing me any favor by taking a serviceable big man off of my roster. So it's not a matter of me trying to create space. I will gladly just absorb Drew Holiday into the cap space and keep him.
I just with you, Fish, but also if you do take that third, because Drew is going to be, once you subtract Herter's salary, he's still going to be like 22 million out of the 44 that they have. That leaves 22. But if you also take that 13 out, then they could really make a splash to fill that roster. I get it, like a Gallinari or, Gallinari and someone else,
Yeah, but I'm realistic. those guys aren't coming to Atlanta right now where we're at. They're chasing rings. They're chasing contending. Cap space right now for us, if we can use it in this manner, mm-hmm. sounds great. But if not, we would rather just keep it as possibly a dumping ground and to acquire even more assets. So, and I mean, stepping away from my Atlanta position in this discussion, I think mm-hmm. that's the hard part of all of this, is the fact that you can't really hold Atlanta over the barrel on that. But my mm-hmm. hope would be, as a Pelican fan, we can get to the point where it's six, Herder and Denman for just Drew, or just Drew and 13. That would be, as a Pelican fan, that would be my sweet spot.
I would say Drew and Jackson, keep 13. I mean, that's what I would be fighting for.
Yeah, but then, I mean, the Pelicans.
You have no guarantee for Favors coming back. You have no guarantee that you're going to find a big. I think that's the Pelicans' worry, is like,
yeah,
you have nobody else under contract in the front court, along with Zion, who just came off.
Favor, you got his bird rights. You can always bring him back for 1 year.
Well, no, I
mean, I'm just saying. But what if he goes to Griffin and says, "I don't want to come back"? I'm just saying, if that were the case, Griffin's mm-hmm. not going to keep him.
I mean, how we're drawing up that deal now, right? The Pelicans are going to have Zion, Deadman, and Melly under contract, so you really just need your third or fourth big, or preferably a guy you can really start at center, and Deadman becomes a guy off the bench. I mean, Deadman is, I mean, he's a rotation NBA big man. Like, he can, yes. you can, I mean, that last trade that you discussed probably is even more sexy to me, because then you get somebody that hopefully is a piece of the core at six. And then at 13, you're just like, the NBA, you need guys from 6 foot six to 6 foot nine that hopefully can shoot the ball and want to defend.
Yeah, that's a thing for me. I'm real hesitant to give up 13 if I don't have to, because mm-hmm. you know, I know everybody says this is a bad draft, but it's a good draft for role players, and we have the stars. So we need those long-term role players, those guys that are, and there's full of those guys that project that way, with wings that can play, make, can defend. Some of them can shoot. Some of them look like they will be able to develop a shot. So I think there's a lot of guys. And then, and like we said, hopefully this is the last year we're in the lottery for a while. So, you know,
I would just say, if it were the one thing that I would do, and as Kevin said, it's a preference thing. For me, I would rather have Reddish. Reddish was a guy that I was very high on before he was drafted. And I was clear about that before. And I just think that I really like his game. I think there's something that's ready to, if it's refined. And I think that the problem for him with the year that he had at Duke and in Atlanta, and he got much better in Atlanta as the year went on, I think the problem is the way those offenses are structured. He had no point guard of any type with him at Duke. RJ Barrett running the offense did not help him. And I don't think he fits in that Trae Young style, particularly when they run a lot of pick and roll for John Collins. I think he would fit in really well with the Pelicans in a more motion-based offense, where he could catch the ball on the run at times. And he could also, I think, will develop as a shooter. That's just my case for him.
2020 has been the year of things happening that are completely out of your control. But there is one thing you can control, and that's shaving your bush. Look, there's no need to be coy about it. You deserve to smell fresh and look great in all the right places, and Manscaped is here to help. They've got the Lawnmower 3.0, a premium electric trimmer that's designed to give you a confidence boost. The ceramic blade and skin-safe technology is designed to reduce nicks and tugs on your fellas down low. It's waterproof, comes with an LED light so you can manscape in the shower, the dark, or in a dark shower, whatever floats your boat. They've got the Shears 2.0 nail kit, which is the perfect add-on. It's a luxury four-piece nail kit featuring tempered stainless steel tools, and it includes tip tweezers, rounded point scissors, fingernail clippers, and a medium grit nail file. You can pluck eyebrows or trim nails in style. There's also the Crop Preserver, an anti-chafing ball deodorant and moisturizer. This will help you tame that summer swamp ass with natural hydrators and antioxidants. There's the Crop Reviver. It's a testy toner that's like having cologne that is designed for your balls. We won't judge if we catch you sniffing yourself. Go to manscaped.com and check out some of these life-changing products. In fact, listeners of this show will get 20% off plus free shipping with the code armchair at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. Use the code armchair. It's time to grab 2020 by the horns by shaving that front trunk. The wait is over. A triple header of fun is upon us this week. Football's in effect. The NBA Finals are here, and the MLB playoffs are in full swing. You might go to some of these games, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you get in on everything. From game spreads, totals, to teams, player, coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any place online. Head to BetOnline today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. BetOnline, your online sportsbook expert.
As a funny side note, Grubb, I want to see if you remember this. I'm not sure if you were there, but early on in the NCAA season, Gentry ranked the three stars at Duke. Remember the order? Were you there that day?
No.
He put Cam Reddish 1, Zion 2, and Barrett 3.
I love Cam Reddish. I do. I thought that I hate RJ Barrett, as you know. I can't stand him.
Yeah.
Well, I've never liked him.
Yeah, I've never liked him.
But I thought Reddish was just miscast, you know, at Duke. And I think it's not everybody's kind of miscast in Atlanta right now. Like, they can do one thing really well. They all can score, and not one of them can defend as a group, I guess. But I like Cam. That's just my guy.
I like him too. I mean, I like all three of those guys. So, like I said, you can give me any of those guys, I'm happy. For me, Herter really solved a need, I think. But I'm also very happy with Cam and Hunter. The only problem with taking Hunter is, like, you know that he, unless you're playing BI at the two, then you're bringing back a sixth man.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of a starter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just to put a cap on this, I guess. We know Atlanta's ready to win now. Lloyd Pierce, of course, talked about getting a vet, but the Clint Capela signing says everything.
Exactly. That was so, when we did that, that's when I was like, okay, this is a good spot for Drew Holiday.
Do you think everything boils down to Drew Holiday saying yes to the year number two?
Yes. I agree with Fish on that.
Yeah.
Because why would you because your trade leverage to get rid of him, if it doesn't work out, is gone if he doesn't pick up the option.
But yeah, Lloyd Pierce is going to want 2 years to try that experiment, right? Yeah.
Lloyd Pierce isn't going to get both years. I mean, if things go slowly, he's going to be, because they're hiring Nate McMillan. Nate McMillan is the head coach in waiting.
Right. Yeah.
But I mean, you guys were talking about Reddish and Hunter. I think Atlanta has too much organizationally invested in those guys right now, and the fact that their GM sees where the league is going. So he wants 6'8" long guys who hopefully can develop some shot, and they can defend, and we can switch. Like, you can see how he's building the team. It's conceptually, this is where the NBA is going. It's just right now it's a whole bunch of pieces that haven't really snapped in to fit. So,
well, they're super young, but you have to with Trae Young, man. You have to. I feel like he's smart. I like the build. I like the attempt.
Yeah,
I think they're going to have to trade John Collins, though. For what it's worth, if I'm Atlanta, I keep six and grab Obi Toppin and trade John Collins.
What?
Collins, I think you're getting worse defensively. Collins ain't even a great defender, but Toppin's worse.
I love John Collins. I would not move.
I'll wait Collins and get Obi Toppin back.
Toppin on a rookie contract.
No way. He's not. No, even at his ceiling is lower than what John Collins is right now.
Okay. I've heard some people talk about it, and I kind of like it.
I think Toppin's probably older than Collins already, too.
Ooh, that's true. He is 22. What's Collins? I don't even know.
24. 24. Like, it's close.
It's like 24. Yeah.
It's only his third year, right? I mean,
one thing before
is because he's about
John
to
Collins is 22, guys. I'm looking at it.
So, yeah, why would
he's
you
the same
there's
age?
No way. Yeah, there's no way.
Before we hop off of Atlanta onto Phoenix, I do want to say I think Atlanta makes some sense if the Pelicans aren't sold on a Brooklyn trade for Caris LeVert, if LeVert is routed to Atlanta, and then Atlanta would shift some of their assets onto the Pelicans. And we'll talk about that more when we focus specifically on Brooklyn.
But I think LeVert would be a piece that they would be like, oh, that's a really nice fit at our shooting guard, and it fits more age-wise with the rest of our guys.
Okay, so let's close out this way.
And for a few years.
So let's close it out with this way. First, I'll start back with Kevin, and we'll say, I'll ask you, do you think that a trade would be likely between these two? And where would you rank this? Would this be high on your favorable list? Would it be mid of your most favorable destinations, or low on your most favorable destinations?
I think it is likely, and especially considering what Fish just said, I've seen a little bit of buzz about that too, as if, you know, Atlanta can't get Drew to commit, then maybe he gets routed to Brooklyn and then Bert comes back. Like, that all makes sense. And it is high on my list because I like those three young players. So if you get one of those three young players plus the sixth pick, I think that's a great deal. And then if it is a three-teamer, then you're probably getting even more back from Brooklyn too. You might be able to be getting another pick, or that pick from Brooklyn can go to Atlanta, then you get to keep 13. So there's a lot of things in play there. So I do think Atlanta, because of the cap space they have and the fact that they have three really desirable young players, that I think that it's probably pretty likely that they're somehow involved in this trade. And, you know, they've worked together last year, so they probably have a good working experience. I think they were both teams are happy with the situation that they got out of that trade. It really is high on the list for me. It might even be my favorite trade destination.
Ollie, we go to you. Likely, and how high is this on your list?
I don't know exactly how likely. I mean, because there's so many probably potential trades, but it's higher than most, and it's sitting definitely in my top three. This is what I'm thinking about. If somehow Okonwu is there available at six, boy, if I'm Griffin, I am jumping all over this deal. It suddenly moves to number one. Or let's say the Pelicans are either super high on Halliburton or Hayes. Again, if either one of those players that they covet is there at six, man, it's going to be tougher for Griffin to find a better deal.
And Fish, your thoughts?
Atlanta is probably, I mean, all the teams that we're going to cover here at the very end are very high on my list. Like, my top five, they're all interchangeable depending on how the deal breaks down. The biggest thing, like Ollie said, who's at six? Because I'm looking at that as the crown jewel of the trade.
Mm-hmm.
I am extremely high on Killian Hayes. And as I've learned and watched and read more about Halliburton, I'm becoming extremely high on him as well, in terms of maybe the kind of point guard that this team needs if you're not really sold on Lonzo. And the biggest thing in terms of how it makes it likely is the fact that you have two front offices who have worked together before. You really can't overstate. If you look through the NBA, front offices that trade with each other, or like GM,
can do it.
They come back. They come back. So it might be a situation, you know, again, where they're the third team, or maybe this time, especially if Holiday does say he'll opt in, that he ends up in an Atlanta Hawks jersey.
All right. I think we all agree that this is one of the and the amount of information or amount of times you've heard the Hawks attached to Drew Holiday certainly makes it seem as a more likely destination. And I think we all agree that there is a favorable package to get, especially and only really including that number six pick. So now we move to the other side of the country. We move from East Coast to the Western Desert for Ollie Cosell, who will be making your presentation on trade packages with the Phoenix Suns, which a lot of people have interest in. But Ollie, you need to nip something in the bud straight from the beginning.
Yeah. Instead of the news that broke today, we got to first mention this, guys. I don't want to hear one more Devin Booker trade rumor. Phoenix is not going to move him. You know, he's got 4 years remaining. Monty and the rest of the whole front office is that's what they're going to be building for, is a winner. And you know Sarver, if anybody knows Sarver, that's all he wants and dreams about. So James Jones has been rumored to want to bring in veterans now for a couple of years. And we saw what they did with bringing in Rubio, and you saw kind of the success they had. So they're just going to continue along with that, but consider Devin Booker untouchable. But before I get to my package, got to mention the news that kind of broke today from Brian Windhorst, to where supposedly the Phoenix Suns have had discussions about acquiring Chris Paul from the OKC Thunder. If that's the case, then it's going to make us right now trading Drew Holiday to the Phoenix Suns kind of moot. But
impossible.
Hey, CP3 is not guaranteed to go there. So we're gonna continue on like that news really didn't happen, right? So basically, you know, Phoenix is interesting. I mean, flat out, for a number of reasons. First off, you got to mention Monty Williams is there. Longtime coach with Drew Holiday here in New Orleans. So you got to think that relationship got built up. And if we know one thing about Monty, he also very much so values high character people. And so with a young Suns team, he's going to want to bring in a guy like Drew Holiday, who honestly has a lot of good things going for him. You know, I know he's just turned 30, but look, that team needs a lot more defense than what Mikal Bridges provides. And so next to Booker, you know, you've got to want to add somebody, but Rubio brings that, but he's too one-dimensional. So Drew Holiday, remember, he's one of the better two-way players, even though we've seen him on a nightly basis where the offense isn't there. Remember, overall, the picture of Drew Holiday in this league is he's one of the best two-way players. So for a team that wants to take that step forward and make the playoffs, I think Drew makes a ton of sense over there. Unfortunately, the guy I think that we all would covet may have been available, you know, say at the start of last year or maybe up at the trade deadline. But you know what? He's no longer going to be in that. I know Kevin knows who I'm talking about. That's Mikal Bridges. He's their small forward, and he's going to probably turn into one of the best wing defenders in the game. He showed his glimpses last year, and I'll let Kevin rave about him later if you guys want to hear. But most part, I think what the deal's going to have to center around with the Suns is basically it's going to be Oubre. And for Griffin, seeking and grabbing that 10th pick from the Suns. Because I think if the Pels have any interest in a tall wing, like, say, either one of Devin Vassell, Patrick Williams, or Isaac Okoro, they're not going to get a chance at either one of those names at 13. But they have at least, I think, one at 10. So, like I said, if Griff's interested in adding a tall wing that can defend in between Zion and Brandon Ingram, then the deal makes a lot of sense, you know, for the Pelicans. So I've got a real simple one. It's really just Oubre and 10 for Drew Holiday. What do you guys think of that one? We'll start with that first.
So, Kevin, I'll let you be Phoenix since you very much have tapped into Phoenix. I'm going to let you be Phoenix.
Okay. So Oubre and 10 straight up for Drew Holiday.
Mm-hmm. You can add some small things to that if you want, but I'm thinking that's overall it's an expiring for an expiring, right?
Right.
But yeah, Drew Holiday, of course, is the much bigger, better renowned player.
Right. And I like Oubre. I'm not enamored with him. I used to like him a lot more, I think, but I think getting into another system might be better for him. And he solves that problem of the tweener forward that we wanted to add, the guy that can play the three or the four, so you can move Ingram around. You know, Ingram maybe doesn't have to play the four as much anymore if you have a guy like Oubre on the roster. So there's benefit to that. And then 10, you moved up three spots in the draft and you still keep your 13 pick, and you can maybe pair those together to move further up if you really need to, or you draft two guys there. It's not the worst deal. It's not doesn't blow me away. I want you to come back to me in a couple seconds because I'm trying to work some magic here on a three-teamer. But I do have I had a trade which I don't think is likely because, you know, Bridges is so I love Bridges, and that's the prize jewel on that Suns team to me. And it includes getting him, but it would be Bridges, a sign and trade for Dario Saric, where you're paying him $12 million a year for 3 years. So it's a $36 million contract. And then pick swap 13 and 10. And then all the seconds go to the Suns. I don't think they do the trade because they like Bridges much. But right now, what I'm going to try to work on for a second while we let somebody else talk is to see.
Yeah, that was almost identical to my home run, except I had, sorry, Fish, heart going over there.
Yeah. You know, and whatever else you could send them, I'd be happy sending them if I can get Bridges 10 and Sarich, because I am very interested in Sarich. My goal right now is to see if I can work a three-team trade where they get Holiday and CP3, which might make Bridges actually be able to come to us. So give me a second to play with that and move on to somebody else.
So Fish, you're the Pels. You look at this, like to work anything other than Oubre, essentially you've got to help facilitate some type of sign and trade. Because if it's a Kaminsky, he's a team option. If they pick up that option, that means they want to keep him, certainly. And they don't have a ton of bigs behind DeAndre Ayton. You're not going to get Cam Johnson from them. So what are you thinking if you're the Pelicans?
Man, it's tough because, I mean, if I'm the Pelicans, Oubre fits the build that you're looking for, although he's still thin. I mean, he's not a big, I mean, he's a long 6'7". Mm-hmm. But I can't see him having much of any success guarding big wings like LeBron's and Kawhi's and Giannis's, those kind of guys. And the other thing is that Oubre's at that point in his career where – one, he's about to be a free agent, so he wants his number, so he's going to get his money. And two, he's primarily an offensive guy, and he's not necessarily a superb three-point shooter.
Or an efficient, particularly efficient scorer.
Yeah, so he's kind of a poor man's Brandon Ingram at this point. Like if I'm the Pelicans and I'm looking at him, he's kind of just a poor man's Brandon Ingram, who's further along contract wise because he's on his second contract about to get his third. But at the same time, I mean, he's only a couple years older. He wasn't as efficient as Ingram was last year. He isn't better on the boards. He's a worse creator for others. I don't really like the fit of Oubre between Ingram and Zion. I mean, you're adding another 6'7" body with a super long wingspan, which sounds great, but what he wants, the ball, and what he's probably going to get are two different things. So I have concerns on the fit there. And then I start to think about what could I do with Phoenix instead? And Rubio is the obvious salary matching choice there. And then you're like, if I'm bringing in Rubio, who's essentially at this point an older version of Lonzo Ball, then I have to do something with Lonzo Ball.
That's not fair. Lonzo can shoot better than Ricky.
and Ricky.
I would diminish either of them. Rubio had a very solid year last year.
Yeah. Rubio is good. But Lonzo's shot when it leaves him, and it did multiple times throughout the year at the beginning of the year in the bubble. The rest of his game is in many respects lesser than Rubio, whereas Lonzo does have.
Well, you would expect that. Rubio's 29. His 22 has been oft injured. So I don't.
Well, here would be my thing. But just in that is that you add Rubio, you're also bringing in somebody who is another player who does not get to the free throw line. Mm-hmm. And so you're giving up Drew, who one of your issues with him is that he doesn't get to the free throw line. Stan Van Gundy wants people who get to the free throw line. And you're going to have Lonzo Ball and Ricky Rubio, and neither of them gets to the free throw line.
Yeah, that is scary. Okay. The same team.
I do want to jump in on that. Point, because Stan Van Gundy, that's something that he pointed out deliberately when he was talking about the Pelicans and people were talking about teams to get to the line and stuff. And he said specifically, he said, they talked about Orlando and how our team got to the line a lot. Our team didn't get to the line a lot. Dwight Howard got to the line.
No, Zion.
Like, yeah. he was referencing that to Zion. Stan Van Gundy doesn't expect the team to get to the line a lot. He expects a couple players who attack the basket to carry the heavy load of getting the line.
Right.
But I would love to have a point guard that gets to the basket, is not terrified of having to shoot free throws, and is willing to draw contact, get big men in foul trouble.
Now, Rubio's a hell of a free throw shooter.
That would be great, but that's not necessarily something that
I kind of like. Have Rubio seems like, for me, that makes it more interesting to me to have Rubio.
I had a question or concern on that, and I'm looking at Rubio's free throw rate, and it's high. It's very high.
Once I look at his rate compared, look at his average per game. It's higher than Drew's. Yes, it's much better. And then the fact that he's shooting the last couple
years. High, but the guy never shoots. He doesn't look for his shot, guys. We've seen him. We've watched him play enough.
What, he's averaging 11 shot attempts a game?
He's a very smart player. Yeah, when he sees a weakness, he will come and pick up the foul. I agree with that. But I wouldn't be too excited about his free throw rate, honestly.
No, what he's saying, though, is the thing you do get, though, is Rubio can penetrate. You know that. He could create for others in the paint. And he can make a floater.
Mm-hmm. He has a
game. We do know that Gundy wants Lonzo to play off the ball in the half court.
Mm-hmm.
I know, but I feel like we're getting a little off kilter here. Because, I mean, honestly, do you foresee Griffin being at all interested in a 29-year-old point guard that people honestly have passed him around kind of in this league? And we've already had Stan Van Gundy go on record about speaking highly of Lonzo. I just don't think that they would bring the two of them together. One of them, I mean, if Ricky's coming in, Lonzo's got to go. But I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't think so. I don't think that. I think they could play together. Because in transition, it doesn't matter. Whoever gets the rebound is going to – if it's Lonzo, he's going to push the ball. He's going to do that. But if you get in the half court, you need somebody to break things down, then that would be Rubio's job. I mean, Lonzo still is able to be the connector and find lobs for Zion and things like that. But when the shot clock,
don't you need a more consistent? Yeah, but don't you need a more consistent score if you're going to give most of your minutes to Rubio and Lonzo? Okay, let's face it, they're going to combine for a lot of 20 points or less combined in games, right?
I don't think that's that bad. I think you're overestimating how bad the offense is from those two.
No,
because Rubio's not that bad.
The thing is about Rubio is that he creates – he is a superb creator in the half court for others.
Yeah.
He's a fantastic general on both sides of the ball. I mean,
But and also, he only makes $17 million and he has 2 years. So he's not only is he a player that you can use, he also becomes an asset, especially the next year when he's expiring or at the trade deadline. You want to move him for a team that wants him for maybe a year and a half. And it's like a solid contract. But I was able to make a three-team trade with the Thunder, Pelicans, and Suns where the Suns get Chris Paul and Drew Holiday. Can you believe that?
You're kidding me.
Yeah,
let me hear this.
Okay. I didn't put any picks in, so we can talk about where picks go. But Chris Paul, Drew Holiday to the Suns. Right now I have it where the Pelicans get Rubio, Bridges, and then that sign and trade with Dario Saric that I talked about, the 3 years, $39 million. So it's $13 million a year for Saric. Then the Thunder get Darius Miller, Kelly Oubre, and Jackson Hayes, and the money works.
But the one thing I would say is if I'm Phoenix, where are my wings? I've got no wings.
I would say
now.
Devin Booker would be your small forward in that situation.
Oh, Monty Williams is having a heart attack at that point, even though he loves, I mean, God, that backcourt like that is small. Tiny. It is so small. I mean, you're asking so much of DeAndre Ayton at that point to just plug all the gaps. That's a disaster waiting to happen.
Yeah, like, and then if Baines is gone too, and they don't get any bigs back in that deal, like if you're Phoenix, you're giving up your all, both of your wings, and you're giving up your in Sarge, somebody who at least is a big that if you could keep him, and like you're giving up, you they have nothing on the wing in the front court now, and you're like all guards.
But with the MLE, they could sign Jeremy Grant. And they could, you know what I mean? They have, like, options to get players. And if you have Chris Paul, Drew Holiday.
I'll tell you what, Phoenix loves Kevin right now.
But the other thing I was going to say, you could also maybe make the case for Rubio to go to the Thunder and try to keep Kelly Oubre because – or whatever. Kelly Oubre has been sort of linked to the Warriors, and he fits in that trade exception that they have. So maybe you could pick up another asset by moving him there, whether it's the Thunder doing that or the Pelicans doing that, because those two you could sort of interchange between the Pelicans and the Thunder in this trade. But yeah, so that would work player movement wise. And then, you know, figure out the draft picks, how that works.
Okay, so then as we conclude this group then, first we'll go to back to Ali, since you started this. How likely do you think it is? Does it require a third team to deal with Phoenix? And where does Phoenix rank in your tiers of trade partners?
Oh, towards the bottom, easily. It would take for Griffin to really want the number 10 pick, I feel like, unless he can somehow pry away Mike, you know, Mikal Bridges, and not have to give up, you know, so many future assets, which I think he would. So, yeah, like I said, it boils down to number 10 pick. So, not likely to happen, especially with the CP3 news. And so, it may be, you know, right next to the bottom, if not at the bottom of all trade scenarios we're going to do with each team for me.
Kevin?
Yeah, I mean, if I can't get Bridges, I'm not really interested. The 10th pick is okay, but I mean, in that area, there's so many guys that are kind of interchangeable that you could draft between like 9 and 15 that I think you can just stay put at 13 and probably get a guy that you're going to like. And, you know, there's other deals out there that seem to be more beneficial to the Pelicans that I would go with, because I really don't see Phoenix coming off of Bridges, and that's the prize of their roster.
And none of us. Again, to repeat, as Ali said at the beginning of this, none of us see a scenario where Phoenix sends Devin Booker to New Orleans.
No. Unless you're trading Brandon Ingram or possibly Zion.
No, Fish. Don't even, Kevin, do, yeah. Don't even introduce that.
Yeah. I wouldn't do that if I was us, but you know, I'm just saying that would be the only way to see you getting Devin Booker.
Fish?
Yeah, the Phoenix isn't a terribly good trade partner. And a lot of that's the fact that they're also in the Western Conference. And both teams right now are kind of trying to scratch and claw their way just, I guess, into the top, you know, that 7 to 10 range where they can make the play-in tournament like thing that they're going to have or they may have here at the end. And that makes it difficult for competitors to trade, whereas it's a lot easier for the Pelicans to trade with a team in the Eastern Conference, and for Phoenix, like the recent reports, to possibly trade with Oklahoma City, where Oklahoma City might be deliberately taking a small step back for financial purposes because their owner's cheap.
Right.
Yeah, I could absolutely see, you know, there you can, they could facilitate a sign and trade both ways for Gallinari and Sarge to send those two in different directions and bring Paul and Gallinari over to Phoenix, and you stabilize that, you know, stretch four position with Gallinari. You have another veteran that you really like with Paul, who's familiar with him. That seems far more likely. And again, like you said, trading in the Western Conference, particularly with those teams that are right at what you would say equal level, which a Phoenix is, after especially after what we saw out of them in the bubble, people are very high on them. It would seem strange to be helping your that close of a of an enemy that's going to be your competition for the next 3 to 4 years and try to build up.
Hey, there was an interesting three teamer tweeted to us to the Bird Rights account from, you know, one of the tweets we had asked for people's opinion on trades. This one kind of got my attention. Drew's going to go to the Brooklyn. The Hawks are going to get Caris LeVert and give them whatever seconds they want. And the Pelicans get Dinwiddie, Prince, and the Hawks 6th pick. How possible does that sound? That's it's feasible. Yeah, I feel like it's feasible, though. Somebody we all like really Dinwiddie, and getting the number 6 pick doesn't sound bad.
What is Brooklyn getting again?
True. And they're giving up Caris. Oh, so they're giving up Caris, Dinwiddie, and Prince. So, yeah
you give them. That's overpay. Brooklyn's not giving up all that.
Yeah.
And no, they're going to need more. Yeah. I didn't read it right. I'm tired.
We'll talk more about Brooklyn. I have an arrangement that is similar to that, but makes a little bit more sense when we get to the Brooklyn.
We're going to talk about this in the next one, but just to tease, because it follows off of this one, is that I do have a three-teamer with the Suns and the Nuggets.
Okay. So, guys, any last thoughts on either one of these teams? So just to make sure the general consensus is that we say Atlanta likely as a trade partner if somebody's going to get it done, and we all put them in our highest regard as a place that, yes, I would like to work with Atlanta.
Definitely.
Correct.
Yep. People just need to understand that both teams are both looking for veterans, and so Drew Holiday really does fit that mold. Just which one has the likeliest deal? Obviously, it's Atlanta.
And so then, again, on Phoenix, we're saying low likelihood and also low preference as a trade partner.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
All right. Just want to make sure it's clear for the folks. We're just doing the Siskel and Ebert wrap-up, and since we don't have actual thumbs to show people on a podcast, I just had to go back and review. So that covers the Atlanta Hawks and the Phoenix Suns. Part three of this series, the Denver Nuggets and the Chicago Bulls are up next. Kevin will be presenting the Nuggets, and Fish is going to have the Bulls. So that should be very interesting, because those are another couple of teams who are in similar positions to the teams that we talked about tonight, Denver and Atlanta. Denver and Phoenix. Denver trying to get to that championship level, needing another vet. Chicago, very similar to Phoenix and Atlanta, a young team, but needs some veteran presence and help there. And then, of course, we'll wrap with the Nets and the Pacers. So stick with us. This has been we always enjoy doing these. We try to be presented from as many angles as possible. Well, guys, we'll go around the table one more time and make sure anybody has any last comments. Ollie, anything you want to close with?
No, I'm just about going to sleep right now.
Kevin, do you second that motion?
Yeah, I'm actually caught a little bit of a second wind, but I was very tired going into this. So, I'm ready for bed. But I'll plug again the article Chris and I wrote for Anti-Gravity Magazine about baller blocking. It's out on newsstands. It's a free magazine. You find it at coffee shops, bars, restaurants. And then it should be online in PDF format at least already, and that's antigravitymagazine.com. So check that out. It's a pretty fun little retrospective on baller blocking, the movie and the soundtrack for its 20-year anniversary.
And Fish, anything you want to say to close?
We need to touch on the fact that the Knicks are still the Knicks. They've had multiple coronavirus positives, and they have.
Why do you do this to me? Why? Don't I have enough? Don't I have to deal with Jim Harbaugh? Don't I have to deal with Matt Patricia? Don't I have to? I have enough in my life, and you want to do this to me today? Why?
No, actually, let's wrap it up on a bright note, okay? By the time
did you hear that?
By the time this
Westbrook could end
if you say this,
no,
don't do it, Fish.
No, this is
hurt me.
This is truly positive, okay? So, a CBA agreement has been finalized between the NBA and the governors and the NBA PA. So The calendar, the prospective calendar, is the trade lid will be lifted next Monday.
That's 2 days before the draft.
On the 16th. So after we publish this, 5 days from when we publish this. The NBA draft is on the 18th, which is a week from tomorrow, a week from Wednesday. Free agency begins on November 20th at 6 p.m.
Friday.
Free agency signings are permitted as of the 22nd, which would be Sunday. It is going to be the most incredible 3 weeks of basketball. And we haven't even touched on the fact they're going to have to create and disseminate the schedule in the in that timeline. I mean,
and training camps and rookie orientation is going to have to be virtual in some manner. All those things have to be squared.
What we are used to taking from mid-June to October is about to happen in 3 weeks. So, I mean, put on your helmets and buckle up your chin straps.
Oh, and if you've got your alerts on your on Twitter, just prepare to see bing, 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 because a lot of these deals have already been agreed. A quick reminder, also, you can check out my podcast, Harden to Paint. I had an interview with Ben Pfeiffer from the Prep to Pro podcast, and we talked about the draft on Monday. And then next Monday, Antonio Daniels will be joining me, and we will talk about the draft from the Pelicans' perspective. So AD, yes, in the house. So check that out, Hard to Paint with David Grubb on all the platforms. So, gentlemen, until tomorrow when we do this again, or as soon as we can do this again, let's go Pels.
Thank you for listening to The Bird Calls on the Armchair All-American Network. If you like what you're hearing, please take a moment to rate us on iTunes, retweet, share with your friends, and most importantly, subscribe today.